First of all, I got an invite to a Friday night dinner. Chicken? Did you say chicken, Patrick? I got chicken out of that, man. We'll bring chicken. How's that? No. We're in 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 1, beginning verse 12. And we'll go through the first two verses of chapter 2. But we looked last week at the consolation in earth that we have towards one another. And it's not like a consolation prize, but it's a consoling, a counseling of coming alongside one another. And many times we suffer trials and hard times, and the soul, not the absolute soul meaning of it, but it can be caused for us to be able to be a comfort to others. And we are to console others. I, for one, do not always understand the troubles or trials that the Lord may be putting me through. And I will often ask God, why this trial? Why this rough time? And then I will open up Scripture and read how Paul suffered so greatly. But Paul, he opens our minds and our hearts to some of the sufferings. And some of his sufferings were simply to give the Christian world hope and comfort. Now, I know Jesus had to suffer the cross for our salvation to be our sacrifice. But Jesus was beaten before the cross. He was spat upon. His beard was plucked out, and a crown of thorns was made for his head, and it was smashed down upon his head. Not to mention the humiliation and the shame associated with crucifixion. Who did Rome crucify? Criminals. Jesus hung on a cross between two criminals, and he was counted as a criminal. Many of you, like me, watch the movie The Passion of Christ. It was graphic in its showing of Jesus' suffering before the cross. And he was demonstrating to the world his sufferings. I, for one, am to cry out, stop the brutality. Enough is enough. Just kill Jesus and get it over with. You almost look at the crucifixion as being a solution to the brutality of man. And that movie captured the sufferings of Jesus before the cross. But it was good for us, and every now and then we need an awakening to the brutality of mankind. And as Christians, we sometimes will suffer in small ways, call them speed bumps, call them trials, call them whatever, and persecutions, knowing that these sufferings are a purifying effect upon our walk with the Lord. And we are to be a consolation to those around us. We're to interact with one another's. Paul was an example of suffering, and he listed his sufferings in 2 Corinthians, and when Paul was converted and blind, he went to Damascus. Ananias was told to go pray for Paul, but he objected, and God said to him, I will show Paul how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul knew what he was getting into. Paul probably had a guilt complex for the way he persecuted early believers. Jesus said he persecuted him personally. And for Paul, his sufferings could have been due compensation. And when we suffer, do you ever ask, why me? I got one better. Ask, why not me? I've asked that before. Years ago, I went through a time of financial suffering. And finally, there looked like there was a little light at the end of the tunnel. And I was rejoicing that perhaps my hard times financially were over, only to go right back through a financial hardship. And I was asking God, am I a slow learner or what? What are you wanting to teach me? And to say that life trials can be for our betterment and maturity is sometimes overlooked by us. Paul understood his sufferings, and he knew they had a purpose, and so do yours, and so do mine. So in 2 Corinthians, Paul will reveal some of the whys that we suffer. So let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll go through verse 12 and 14 and then pick up more. For our boasting in this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by grace of God, and more abundantly towards you. For we are not writing any other things to you than what you have read or understand. Now I trust you will understand even to the end. As also you have understood us in part, that we are your boast as you are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Paul will boast of being simplistic and in sincerity. There's a tendency in our world today to specialize. And we will sometimes, well, you go to a doctor, how many specialties are there out there in the medicine field? I mean, my goodness. And they all specialize usually in some treatment of the body. Paul's testimony, he presents, is his conscience before them there at Corinth. And he says, I have a clear conscience before God, and I trust you Corinthians, I trust that you understand this. In Paul, he's an open book. Paul had no hidden agendas. The gospel is simple, and that's what he taught, so simple that even a child can understand, turning to Jesus and giving their heart to the Lord. But I'm troubled by many that look for meanings aside and apart from Scripture or the true issues. And one of those misunderstandings or misunderstood issue is I've heard a teaching where Christ descended into hell after his death to secure our salvation. No, that's not scriptural. Why did Jesus on the cross declare it is finished? Because our salvation had been secured. It had been achieved there on the cross, and the only thing that was left was for Jesus to resurrect from the dead, which he did on the third day. I personally listen to hidden teachings with a skeptical mind. And I always say, well, maybe, and then I check it out if it's a big concern to me. But Paul was a man of simplicity and sincerity. So let's read verse 15 through chapter 2, verse 2. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit, to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? or the things I plan, do I do according to the flesh, that with me there is or should be yes, yes, or no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Moreover, I call God as witness against my soul that to spare you, I came no more to Corinth. Not that we are have dominion over your faith, but you are fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. Then now 2 Corinthians 2 verses. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me? Paul, in these verses, gives us a clue of how we are to plan our activities. About a week before our reunion that was to take place back in, August, in Washington, our cousin Susie, one of the hosts of that reunion, was involved in a serious motorcycle accident. And so we had to cancel our flight, a change of plans. And Paul tells Corinth, I intended to come to you again on my way to Macedonia, but changed my plans because of confrontation, and to visit again would have been unpleasant. But I sent Titus, my fellow servant, and I sent him to you with a letter to the first letter to the Corinthians, and it was a severe letter. Paul really chastises the Corinthians. Titus, sent by Paul, was to receive an offering for the saints in Judea, and a traveling speaker at that time, a traveling preacher, would be met outside the city with the church group that he was going to minister to, and they would walk him into the city. They would greet him and journey with him, and he would leave the same way. He would be walked out of the city. Paul said, I had planned to come to you in person, but I changed my plans. But my plans were not yes, yes, or no, no, but simply a change in plans directed by God. We have a contradiction of that today. Our airlines will cancel flights, delay flights, no compensation. But if you want to change your flight, you're usually charged a substantial fee for just wanting to change your flight. So what is our remedy? I've heard Christians say, by God's will, I will go or I will come. And they covered their plans. And I like that. Too often I say, well, I plan on doing this, and God has a right to change my plans, which he does at times. But Paul, he will continue in verses 19 and 20. We were faithful to preach Jesus Christ among you, not only myself, but Timothy and Silvanus. We preached that Jesus was a definite yes, for all the promises of God are yes and amen. Well, we just got back from a trip back to see family on the West Coast, and we went with my daughter to a church where they had an amener. You know what an amener is? Yeah. And not only amen, but every now and then he would say, yes, that's right, preach it. And some preachers will even call out for, can I hear an amen? Don't do that to me. Please don't. I find it distracting. I'm thinking, what are they amening? What are they on? Are they on the same page I am? And we had a fellow a while back who not only gave me amens, but he began to finish my statements or my thoughts. Now that was really distracting. This guy, he's mind reading me. And I felt it was distracting. But in verses 21 and 22, Paul says, our anointing came from God. It is God who sealed us and secured us and has given his Holy Spirit as a deposit. Now that is as secure as you can be. God has given us his Spirit to live and function within us. And all we can say to that is, thank you, Lord. God wants us to be happy and secure, but happy and secure in him, not in ourselves, not in our own strengths, but be happy in the Lord Jesus. Now, I was raised in a church where you could lose your salvation, and it could happen very easily. My own mother said she hoped she was ready if the rapture were to occur, hoped that she would go. And my mother was a godly woman. And I thought, well, that's sort of sad. But back to me. So as a young person, I got saved several times. Yeah. And I shared this with a fellow Calvary Chapel pastor, and he replied, I'm glad one of them took. Me too. When I look back on my life, and it's full of walking close to the Lord and backsliding away from the Lord, etc. And at that time in my life, when I was in a rebellious state, I thought I was lost. Yet I believed in Jesus, but I was not abiding in Jesus. So I'm not sure whether I was lost or not lost, but I thank God today I'm secure in my salvation. And then like verse 22, being sealed by God, given the Holy Spirit to live within me. That is the best security you can have, to know that that God by his Spirit dwells within you. It can be a sad and terrible place in God not to know you are his child. And I've known several people that found the forgiveness of their sin was too great for the Lord to forgive them, and they were miserable. But to know that he has secured us by his Spirit is a great comfort. And Paul, he will then take an oath. God is my witness, I come no more to Corinth, only to spare you. Now, as an apostle of doom and gloom, not as an apostle of doom and gloom to dominate you, but we are fellow workers in the faith. What a great thing for Paul to say to a church that was many considered very worldly. Paul says to them, we're members together in the church of faith. You Corinthians, you stand as fellow believers of faith, so have the joy of your salvation. And then in chapter 2, reason I'm going to two verses in chapter 2, the chapters and verses were added later. So I think it just finishes a thought, the two verses in chapter 2. Paul tells Corinth, I would not come to you by chastening you or by making you sorrowful. For you, the church at Corinth, you are the ones that make me glad and make me stand firm in the faith. I can understand Paul's gladness with the Corinthians. For they lived in a day where Christian persecution, and Paul is happy to see their faithfulness towards God. Whenever we come across a fellow believer in our daily life, out in the working world, we're glad to know that there's others that stand in the faith. It's a joy to us to encounter another Christian. For years, we had an older man here at Calvary that went through the tent days of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. And he commented to me one day, he says, you know, looking at me as an older Christian, I guess, how good it was to see that me as an old man was walking in the faith, God being our hope and faith. And he pointed out how many past friends had fell out of true fellowship and worship of God. So you who are saints of maturity, I salute you. I'm happy to be counted among you, for your witness of God is heartwarming to this old preacher. I'm probably older than everybody in here, so don't make a point of it. For we live in a time where many have fell away from true worship. The Christian Church of America, the evangelical church, is not so evangelical. When a third of their pastors teach salvation comes by good works. I was amazed at when I read that report that 37% of evangelical pastors claim salvation is by works. And I thought, how sad that a third of the congregations of the evangelicals are being misled by men who do not believe in the shed blood of Christ. That's alarming to me. So, let me just tell you, you people bring me great joy, and I'm happy to be numbered among you. So, let me get you to stand, and we'll close in prayer. Father God, first off, I want to thank you for my salvation and for these people that stand before you. I thank you that they walk with you. They are numbered among your children, and what a joy it is to be part of that number, Lord. For we count on you. We count upon you, Lord, to be our strength, to be our deliverance, to be our all in all, and we need you desperately, Lord. So we give you thanks that your Spirit dwells among us and in us. What a joy it is to know that the living God directs and guides my daily life. For that I'm thankful, Lord. And we, your people, are proud to be called your children. So, Lord, continue to just lead us and guide us. Continue to bless us, Lord. Continue to just mature us by the things that we may suffer or the trials we may go through, Lord. May we just count upon them as a great service, a great love from you to us. So we give you thanks for loving us so much. And we pray and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.